That's the idea of this concept of lead sheet playing from really early on. And in fact, as Sarah said, it's not really lead sheet playing. It's kind of lead sheet creating. Basically, you're teaching students to harmonize a melody. And this skill of being able to do this and the knowledge that I'll gain from doing this is so, so great for all the things they're going to learn later on, because they're going to come to pieces in 2 years' time and they're going to go, oh, yeah, this is in B flat. Oh, there's the dominant chord. Oh, there's an interrupted cadence. There's a perfect cadence. They're going to know this stuff because they've kind of created it from the beginning.
Tim Topham here, and welcome to the Topcast, where we share all the best business and pedagogy ideas each week to help you thrive in your music teaching studio. And in today's episode, we're continuing our 5-week journey through our new challenge. It's the Hesitant to Hero, hook your students with our top 5 notebook teaching ideas. And the goal of this challenge is to get your students practicing lots, growing in their motivation, building connections between core concepts and skills, and reading more accurately. They're going to have heaps of fun, and so are you, just like the teachers that we showed you last week with their homework as well. So last week we did the chord quick wins. That was all about 4-chord composing. Go back and listen to that if you missed it. Today we're talking about lead sheets in lesson 1. And don't forget that you can download your free worksheet from the show notes page. And you can watch the video of this if you'd prefer to rather than listen to it as well over at topmusic.co/episode285. After today's presentation, I'll come back and share a few more excerpts of homework from our original participants to give you an idea of the kinds of things that you can do from today's day 2 ideas. All right, so day 2 is called Lead Sheets from lesson 1, and it's all about how you as a teacher can teach students a tiny bit about harmony and bass, some really simple ideas, right from when they're first starting to read their right-hand pieces. Now, sorry, the audio does fade just a little bit sometimes, but not enough to be too distracting. So I hope you enjoy today's session. I'm going to hand this over to Sarah to kick us off. Here we go.
So lead sheets in lesson 1, that's what we're focusing on today. And just like language, we can play things that are more complicated than we can sight read very often when we're beginning. I think a lot about my kids who are learning to read and how they can say things that are way more complicated than they can write or read at the moment. And so it's the same with music. Now, of course, reading is really important and we're always working on that too. But when it comes to the beginnings of our lessons, we can be introducing the idea of a tonal center and harmony and prepping that idea. And then as well, that helps the student to understand that inside the melody, they can see clues of where the tonic and dominant are. So the key points that you want to share with your students, of course, are the home note, the home key. And we'll get into some more like examples in just a little bit. And you want to read your student. You want to see, do they have the coordination to handle this? Like, I have a few students at the same age, and one student totally can handle it, no problem. The other one bounces off the walls. He's just not there yet, right? So, you know, I want to make sure he's at the place where he has the fine motor for it and the sort of staying power. And then I'll mention a few other examples on what to do. And then we're going to go a little bit farther into different levels, what to do with different levels of students.
Sounds good. Now, I've got the example up. Do you want me to pop that on screen share so that you can talk to people the process?
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. All right. Let's get that up now.
And so just in case, if you're looking for your handout PDF, it's in the files section of the Facebook group, and it's also hyperlinked in the emails. So there we are. Here's a piece from Carol Matz. And so our steps are going to be, this is where we're going, right, Tim? We're going to do the steps for homework.
Yeah.
And then you've got your, okay, perfect. Want to make sure we're on the same page? Okay. So you can see there's a simple melody here. And on your handout, you'll see the circles for where you can put the chords that you would put there. Now, for your beginner, they're not going to play all 3 notes at the same time. You may just start with just a C. And you might even leave it at the dominant. They'll know by their ear whether they should be taking a rest or not. Okay. So your job is to find your own piece like this, and you can fill it in on the homework and then write in the notes above, just like a lead sheet. So suddenly your method book can be turned into a lead sheet just like that.
Yeah. I just love this because a lot of the times when I first started teaching beginners, you would take the method book, you would teach the student something like this, right hand, they're learning to read the right hand, they would learn the melody, you would play along with them, great, turn the page, let's do the next one, turn the page, let's do the next one. And we just miss out on this huge opportunity to teach kids about the harmony that you're playing in the accompaniment part. And so what this process that Sarah's talking about is giving the student the opportunity to learn a little bit about harmony. And so really there's a few steps in that process. And the first one is to talk about key. Now, how often do we talk about the key of a piece, Sarah, with our beginner students? I mean, it's pretty rare, really, isn't it? Because they don't have to worry about key signatures and stuff at this stage. Mm-hmm. But learning about tonic and dominant and tonal relationships is one of those fundamental musical activities that we want to make sure that we do. So for a piece of music like this, we could say, you know, they don't have to be able to understand the whole sort of theory behind it, but you can say this one's in C major. It uses the notes of what's a C major scale. You don't know about that yet. It doesn't matter. But if we put a C in the left hand, like Sarah was talking about, we can add some interest to this piece. We can add some harmony. Now, one note on its own really is a bass line, but it's a great way to start for students who don't have the fine motor to play either two notes at the same time or even better, a three-note chord. So that's why I've put up on the screen our circle of fifths. Now, you guys are all gurus at circle of fifths now from yesterday, and you'll see that I've highlighted once again, if we're in the key of C, we know the chords that are going to work in this piece of music. So F, G, C major, D, A, E minor. And so that process then is to put the chords in each of these bars. And students, just like this is just such a fun activity. If you start them off with C, so let's take a student that could play a chord in their left hand is able to coordinate that together. Maybe I should put my keyboard on the screen. Though I'm quite small here, but I want to leave up the work that we're working on. So if they can play a chord down in the left hand like this, or even just root and five, they'll start to hear this kind of harmonic sound. So you say, okay, well, for this first bar, we're going to do C because that's the tonic. All pieces of music start and end with the tonic chord most of the time. So let's start with C. Now, does C work in bar two? Well, why don't we try and play it? And I go, no, I don't know. Maybe if you're Schoenberg or someone, you might like that. not so much me. So what's another chord? And to keep it simple with students, just choose the major chords. They don't even need to worry about the minor chords. So why don't we try an F chord? No, why don't we try a G chord? Because we as music teachers know that won't work. So we could try this. Ugh, not so good. Why don't we try the F chord? All right, let's try that. Oh. And then this note is G, maybe a G chord. And maybe we stay in G, but maybe on the fourth bar, you could go to D minor, perhaps. Okay, so that's the idea of this concept of lead sheet playing from really early on. And in fact, as Sarah said, it's not really lead sheet playing, it's kind of lead sheet creating. Basically, you're teaching students to harmonize a melody. And this skill of being able to do this and the knowledge that I'll gain from doing this is so, so great for all the things they're going to learn later on, because they're going to come to pieces in 2 years' time and they're going to go, oh, yeah, this is in B flat. Oh, there's the dominant chord. Oh, there's an interrupted cadence. There's a perfect cadence. They're going to know this stuff because they've kind of created it from the beginning.
So, and I think it's exciting because so often, you know, if we had a similar upbringing where it was like, play what's on the page and now turn the page and play exactly what's there, then, you know, when I finally was told like, oh, just go harmonize that, I was like, you know, I was so used to that same feeling of like, well, you just have to follow exactly what's written for you, you know? So I think it gives students that creative freedom and to understand how to read, like to read the harmony and see what's there.
Yep.
So I think it also underscores their reading because they're going to expect, they'll know what to expect to harmonize.
Right. Exactly right. So I think I've got, so there's the close-up of it. So you've got this in your book. So what I'd like you guys to do is now choose and write in your score the chords you think will work with this. Now, we're all pretty skilled. If it's got an F in the right hand, you know that probably an F chord's going to work and things. So try it out. If you're at a piano and you're muted and you're one of our VIPs, feel free to give it a play. It looks like Ruthie's going for it right now, so that's great. And if you're in the Facebook group, feel free to do that too, of course. There was a great comment here from Gemma. In sibling lessons, I've been teaching the older student to do the teacher part chords so she can accompany her little sister. Fabulous. Like getting siblings duetting is so much fun. So here's one example. This is the example I prepared earlier. So I'm going to play that with the left-hand chords and the right-hand melody, and it's going to go like this. Something like that. And it's a matter of exploring. That's only one way to do it. You could do just fewer chords than that. You could just do only majors. There's so much variety in how you can approach this concept, but it's so fundamentally and pedagogically exciting. What do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, I totally agree. And now that you're saying this, I'm thinking of like group classes, once they can come back in person, and here anyway, one student can play the melody and then the other students can take turns harmonizing, or like they can, when you're learning about triads, you can use simpler method books to let them harmonize and on the go kind of thing, a bunch of them in a group or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly right.
So many possibilities. I love it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So why don't we try one more example? And Sarah, I think you had a cool idea about how to get even more creative with this one. So I don't know if anyone knows this tune that I'm putting up now.
I don't know if you've ever taught that one. I don't think I have to intro this one, but I'll share a little bit about a student that I started just a few months ago. She's 8. And this was one of the first times that I just wanted to have her be able to read and also harmonize at the same time. And so she was playing a piece like this, and she's playing Mary Had a Little Lamb also. And so we started, just like I said earlier, and there was a question in the group, you know, what do you do with beginners? And so, like I said, first you want to read the coordination, see if they have the power there to do both at once. But you can start with just a C whole note all the way through and just say, hey, if it ever just doesn't sound good, just lift your left hand a little bit, right? So that you don't even have to do two notes at once. Or you can do a drone, like with a fifth. And then again, they'll be like, huh. And they'll be like, okay, it didn't take long at all. I didn't have to explain it. She just knew, okay, that's the bar with the rest right now. And then eventually, once that's really fluent, then we'll add maybe a G or something else there, or try some other things. So, you know, we talk, of course, about the key center and how C is the home key, and that's what we're going to add to it. But then we can also get a little bit fun and say, well, what about Spooky Mary? You know, what if A is the tonal center? You know, and we'll try that one. And what do you think? And again, they might be like, well, maybe I'll rest on that bar. And, you know, I love it because it opens conversation. So they get to think about sounds and they get to think about the harmony, and I can say, what do you like best and why? And, you know, with my students too, I like to use their name. So I'll be like, oh, you Robin-fied that, and then they get, oh yeah, I did that. And that my Spooky Mary is now like Robin-fied, and I've got to do that in my group class or whatever it is. Right. So it gives them this creativity and this power, but then it also really underscores those relationships and harmony.
I was even thinking with Mary Had a Little Lamb, you could do make the main chord A minor like that. You could also turn it into a minor for a student that's finding this easier, wants the next step. And then what would the next chord be? I don't really know. It could be a G again. Maybe it could be a D minor. Don't really like the D minor. But this kind of exploration for students is so great, because they're using their ears and they getting to be creative. They're getting to listen. They're not just kind of playing blindly. How many times have you guys had a student, you've said, all right, off you go, let's hear your piece for today, and they play it and there's some glaring errors in it that you cannot miss, and they finish and you go, well, I used to like asking my students to rate it. So what do you give your performance out of 10? How's that? 9 out of 10. I'm like, okay, were you listening to what you actually were doing? And they're like, no, I wasn't listening. I was too worried about reading the notes and getting it right. And does that happen to you as well, Sarah?
It's like, yeah.
Okay, well, you need to listen, guys, because you're performing an instrument and that's kind of fundamental. So a good way to do that is to just get them to record themselves playing and then play back the recording, and then they can really hear what's going on. But I bring this up because it's so important for students to listen as they're playing and do this kind of activity right from the start. That's only going to build their ear in the process. So Mary Had a Little Lamb, if anyone is at an instrument at the moment, in our VIP group and wants to play through their chord, their harmonized version of Mary Had a Little Lamb, we would love to hear it. All you need to do is just put your hand up. For those of you guys in the Facebook group, I'm monitoring comments and things like that. So if you've got any questions or if anyone's got any questions, please pop them in the chat so that we can answer those and get you moving, because we're going to give you a task to do that's based around this really simple concept.
Sounds good. There is a question in the Facebook group. Is the key center the same as the key signature? That is a really good one.
Sorry, say that again.
Is the key center the same as the key signature? It's a good question.
That is a good question. More often than not, yes. It can get tricky when you have modes, because the key signature for modes don't align with like what you think it is. So a B flat in a key signature, we think F, but it could be a Dorian mode in a different key. I think for students who are doing this in their very like first couple of months of lessons, then keep it simple.
Yeah.
I think that goes for just anything when it comes to music theory. Keep it simple to start with. And I should just say too, we've titled this a little bit tongue-in-cheek, Lead Sheets on Lesson One, because of course we shouldn't be teaching reading in lesson one anyway. This is like lead sheets from near the beginning, right? So please don't feel like we're advocating that you've got to get a method book out and start teaching reading from lesson one, because of course that goes against most of my principles about starting a really creative off-book singing improvisationary approach. Okay, I just thought I should mention that, Sarah.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. Well said.
Cool. All right. Have we got any hands up? I can't see any. Come on. Anyone game?
I see Ruthie.
Ruthie? Would like to unmute Ruthie and let's spotlight you. There you are. Can we hear you?
Yeah. So all I did was I just walked with all of the whites. So C all the way to F twice. D minor, E minor, F, C, twice and like that. And then it's kind of cute because that final F chord, they both land, both of the ones land on C, and it kind of leaves this like cute little thing.
Leaves it just hanging a little bit, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And one of the sounds in there is a really nice F major 70 kind of, or there was this major seventh sound in there, which I thought, ooh, nice. Can't remember which chord it's on. Thank you so much, Ruthie. Really, like, great idea. And you could get students to easily, if they can do a triad, even if they can do two notes, just walking up. Of course, when you're doing with beginners, and I know Andrew asked that question in the Facebook group, using fifths is great, except you do miss out on the major minor factor. So sometimes using the root and the third can be a better approach. So you can just use C and E, D and F, B and G kind of thing if students still are struggling to play a full triad. Thank you, Ruthie. That's awesome. Anyone else game?
We're looking at you, VIPs. Don't look at your camera. You get called. I'm kidding.
Look at all our VIPs. That's okay. We're not gonna force you guys to do it. But let us know now in the comments, both on Facebook and in our group here, what do you think about this as a concept? Is this something you've tried before? Is this like, oh my goodness, I've never thought of that. How silly of me. I reckon this is such a great idea. Pop a comment in the chat. I'd love to get some feedback on this. And then I think Sarah can tell us what we're going to be doing for our homework this week. Tonight.
Yeah. All right. So while we're waiting for our chat, I'll talk about the homework. So you can take out your favorite method book, whatever you teach from the most. And you want to find a piece that's 4 to 8 bars long, similar to our examples today, like Mary Had a Little Lamb or something like that. And then you're going to write the chords above. You can experiment using the circle of fifths, just like we were doing. And then if you have a student at this level, give it a try with them. Let us know how it goes. We want to hear it and see what comes up. Like maybe you'll come up with cool tips too. I'm sure there's going to be so many ideas to read through. It'll be really exciting. So then I want you to post done in the group and let us know what piece, let us know the title of the piece and or a selfie or a video. I mean, man, I need to like up my game and put a video in there. Yeah. Love it.
Well, the great thing is that if you want, you can get a sneak peek at some, there's about 5 people who've already done day 2 homework before we've gone live with the instructions. Anyway, it's all good. They are eager, which I love. And they've put, there's some have done videos, some have shown the method book with their chords above the piece. So whatever you'd like to share, we would just love to see it and love to be able to follow up on that on Monday or Sunday night, wherever you are, when we go live for day 3. So remember, you've got the weekend off, which is a great opportunity to catch up and try some of these things if you haven't had that opportunity yet. And then we're back on the Monday, our time here in Melbourne.
So Sunday for us, North America.
Yes, correct.
A 2-day break, not a weekend break for us. 2-day break. Sunday, we'll see you.
That's right. Now,
there's some questions coming through. You go, yeah. And then I'll go.
I'm just having a look here. I've done it with varying success, but I think just watching this will help me do it more systematically. Fantastic, Linda. And the whole point of doing yesterday's topic first, introducing the circle of fifths and the related chords, you need, like, it's important to do that first. I mean, you could jump into this activity with a student who's never played chords before and just make this your first activity with them. But doing that yesterday one first could be beneficial as well. So having that system perhaps helps. Have you got one there, Sarah?
Yeah. Patricia gave us a cool tip. I think she's talking about Ruthie's neat chord progression. She said you could also flip that around and then the cadence is different at the end.
Yeah, walking up and down bass lines, I mean, that's a whole nother cool chord composing technique, descending bass lines. Everyone uses them. Everyone loves them. Ascending can work as well, just as Ruthie showed us. Marissa, she's asked a comment. You mentioned playing seconds and thirds for elementary. Thirds make sense. Well, how would seconds work? Sorry. If I said that, I didn't mean it. Just using thirds. So thirds
can work. Yeah.
Or fifths as the way before they can play triads. I didn't mean to say seconds if I did.
I put that in the handout, actually. That's what that's from. And I've done my students as like a dominant seventh. So if you had an FG.
Yes, of course.
Yep. That way you're only using fingers 1, 2, 3. So FG on a dominant note could fit for a second there.
Yeah. Great. Good tip. That's great. Gemma says that she's tried it before to extend kids to advance a little quicker. So that's cool. Heidi's not thought about doing this. Love the idea. So easy to integrate. Hope to try it next week, which is fabulous. Jane's going to give it a shot as well. Cool. All right. Sounds good. Just checking if we've got any questions in the group here as well. Cindy says, I appreciate the reminder about subbing chords in for more interest. Yeah. I mean, if students are finding this quite easy and they're a little bit older, because you can do this with teenage, like anyone that's learning to read right hand only, you could do this with. So if they're finding it easy, then yeah, you could throw in some cool chords. In fact, go and watch Sabrina from Ireland. She was the one that won the first spin the wheel today. She's done day 2 homework and she subs in some flat chords in one of these pieces. It's very, very cool. Great. Cool. And Meg and Janet, thank you for your comments too here in the group. Sounds great. Excellent. All right. Well, we wanted to keep these short and punchy because we know everyone is super busy. So if you've got any final comments, please leave them for us. We'll just be wrapping up in a moment. Of course, those of you in the VIP in our Zoom room, our Top Music Pro members and those of you who have bought the VIP access, hang around because we've got an extra 30 minutes that we're going to hang out. How much fun was it yesterday, Sarah? I've got to say.
It was great.
That was
yeah.
just an absolute blast. So thank you for those of you who are participating in that. If you aren't a VIP, you're over in Facebook and you would like to join us for these extra sessions. So we're doing an extra 30 minutes. We're throwing in some swag and we're going to meet again in a few weeks to see how things have gone and answer more questions. If you'd like to join us, then the link, Sarah, is
tubmusicco.com/challengevip.
Fantastic. So do come and join us. There's still time and there's still plenty of value to get, and you'll get access to yesterday's VIP recording as well.
Yeah, and big pat on the back to everyone who's showing up and doing the work, and then you'll see the results in your teaching. So awesome job.
Yep. Christine says, good ideas. Corinne says, does anyone use Samantha Coates's sight reading blitz books? That's the rote to sight reading ones, I'm guessing, Corinne. Great books. I really love Samantha's approach. I don't personally use them, but I know a lot of people that do. So, yeah, feel free to reply if you're in the Zoom link there. Martha says, Tim, when you start subbing and have a student who is curious, how far do you get into theory when explaining why it sounds good? Great question, Martha. It really depends on the student and their passion, because you don't want to overwhelm them. But if they're really into it, because I was quite into music theory when I was young, kind of weird, I know. But I used to always ask myself, when I heard a cool progression on the radio or in a song, I would always go to the piano and try and learn it and work out why I like it. I don't know if some of you watching have done that too. So to be able to help them with that, I say if they're super keen, Martha, go for it. It also depends on your own sort of skills and confidence in being able to explain it too, because I know someone put in a chord progression, it was MJ actually, who's with us, put G minor in her C major progression. It's like, well, why is this working? And then someone else was talking about five of five chords, so dominant, what are they called?
Secondary dominance.
Secondary dominance. Now, if all of this is just like, shh, then, you know, don't worry about it. You can work together to kind of learn how it goes. So really, I think, in answer, short answer to your question, Martha, go for it, see what they're up for, see if they understand it, see if they're keen enough, and then go to the level that they're happy to.
Yeah, good one. We have a question from Paula who says, do you suggest to introduce this harmonizing concept, explaining the circle of fifths to young beginners, like 6-7-year-olds, or in a different way? I always use the painter's palette example. Like, I tell them that the notes that the composer is using are like little bits of paint on your palette, just so they have a bit of a visual. And then like one of them, it's like when you paint a house, or sometimes, but usually there's trends, right? Almost all of us have a little bit of gray or beige going on, right? It's like your home. You know, so I start much more with like visuals and stuff before we actually see the circle. But then we talk about the color wheel maybe as they get a bit older, and complementary versus that kind of thing. Yep. That seems to help get there.
Yeah, I think, again, it really depends on the students, because some 6-year-olds are way advanced and some are very much like 4-year-olds still. So really just depends on where they're at. And I love the idea, for particularly for young kids, making that visual connection between painting or something else that they understand, and then how that affects music, I think is a great approach too. Patricia Crane is asking for the Zoom link. Sorry about that, Patricia, if you haven't got it. We will make sure you get it in the next couple of minutes. That's totally fine. And Andrew says, do you need to pay extra for the Zoom group? Yes, Andrew, VIP access is extra unless you're a Top Music Pro member. And you can find out about how to connect to it through that link, topmusic.co/challengevip. Thank you. look, let me just finish before we go. I just wanted to show you something, because that four chord composing concept that we were doing yesterday, I've got some testimonials, some really super quick, exciting testimonials just to show you about, from other teachers who've used the whole concept in their teaching. So this is a couple of our members who have access to the full four chord composing course. So what I gave you yesterday was really just kind of lesson 1-2. So she said, this is Laurie. She said, this has been an amazingly spectacular game changer for me. Thank you for the material and the inspiration to step out of my comfort zone and have so much fun with my students. And she followed up with, on the right there, saying, I also should have said that the students that I'm using four chord composing with are stoked to be learning it. The embers of passion for music have been fanned into massive flames. I think she should be an author. How good is that? And then Elaine said, I like Adult Piano Adventures as a starting point, but supplement with Tim's four chords, which is absolutely the most effective way to make either adult beginners or teens feel as if they're really sounding great really quickly. Lead sheets and anything else that fits with whatever their motivation is for learning. So I thought I'd share those two because it just brings home how much of an impact you can have with some of these super simple ideas that we're giving you in the challenge.
Awesome. I loved hearing those.
Yeah, that's really cool. It makes my day when we get these kind of feedbacks from our members. So, all right, I think we might wrap things up there. So we're going to say goodbye to our Facebook Live viewers. Thank you so much for joining us. Zoom guys, stick around. We'll have a quick break and then we will get into our Q&A to follow up. So bye-bye, Facebook. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
We'll see you on Sunday, Monday. Good luck with your homework.
Well, I hope you enjoyed day two of the 5-day challenge. I hope we've got you inspired to try out some of these ideas and explore them with your students. This one is a really simple one, but can have really profound effects on students. Before I sign off, I thought you might like to hear the results of some other teachers who completed this challenge when we were doing it live last year. So Laurie said, day two done. I chose New River Train from Alfred's Group Piano for Adults Book 1. I'll try this with a teen student this week. And Julie said, homework 2, I did it. Also, I printed out a free cadence chart from Music Notes for my older students because we're talking about cadences, as you remember, in this segment. I couldn't remember Deceptive myself, so I needed a bit of a review, and I worked on Peekaboo from Daniel McFarlane's method. And I thought it'd be fun to actually have a listen to a couple of our teachers' homework. So here's Angela. She used Spinning Top from Daniel McFarlane's method, and here's what she said.
Hi, this is assignment 2. Since I don't have any more students this week, I'm going to do it myself with something from Supersonics. I'm using this, level 1 with a new student. He actually wrote his own for this call and response that they have at the end of the module, so we're going to do it with that with him next week, but I'm going to just also just try it with one of the other early module songs that only uses a few notes. So I realize this would be a great way to also obviously play duets with your kids. Sometimes I do that when I don't have the book handy, but I could get a little more creative in my chords maybe. So this one is called Spinning Top, page 19.
And this from Lucy. She said she went for a piece in Piano Adventures Level 1 book as she fancied a minor piece. And the chords she used, A minor, E minor, G, F, and C. Here's what she did.
Okay, so I've chosen a piece of music from Lesson in Theory book, Level 1 Piano Adventures, page 54 if anyone's interested, but No Moon Tonight. It's A minor, but it's more Aeolian mode, I think. And I've taken a couple of their notes out so that it's a single line rather than any of their notes they put in to try and enable me to experiment a bit more with these chords. So here's what I came up with.
And finally, let's hear from Margaret, who worked on Scenic Train Ride as her piece. Here's Margaret.
Hi, I'm doing day 2's assignment for lead sheets here in Holly Springs, North Carolina. And I'm using Faber's Piano Adventures for the Older Beginner. There's a song in here called Scenic Train Ride. And I'm using chords centering around D minor.
Thank you. if that wasn't inspiring, I don't know what will be. Go and try it out in your studio this week. Try it out yourself. Try it out with some students. Can't wait to hear how it all goes. All right, next week on the podcast, we are hitting day 3. It's called Repertoire Remixing. Now, this is about the coolest and simplest way to get creative with the music students are already learning. It really aligns beautifully with the work that you're already doing. I'll give you examples from Baroque to bebop and pop and explain how getting under the hood of your students' repertoire can have a huge impact on their understanding of the music they're playing. Don't forget to go over to the show notes page and download that worksheet for today and explore it with your students. We'll be back next week. Can't wait to see you then. Bye. For more information about this episode and to find out how to enhance your own teaching, visit topmusic.co. You'll find everything you need for your studio, from lesson plans to cheat sheets, quick win teaching ideas, and guides on how to build your teaching business. Plus, you'll be connected to a global community of the world's top music teachers. And when you're ready, join hundreds of other teachers around the world by becoming a Top Music Pro member and get access to all our bonus content and flagship courses. And don't forget to follow topmusic.co on social media and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it. That's all for today. We'll see you in the studio.